This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وعنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يتوضأ بالمد ويغتسل بالصاع إلى خمسة أمداد متفق عليه. Narrated Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to perform the wudu with one mud of water and perform ghusl, the bath, with one sa'a to five mud of water, agreed upon.
This hadith Anas radiallahu anhu fi al-sahihain, so it's one of the most authentic hadith that we have, and it also reported by Abi Dawood wa Nasa'i rahimahumullahu ta'ala. He said, Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to use only one mud for his wudu. Al-mud هو ملء كفي الإنسان المعتدل غير مقبوضتين ولا مبسوطتين. It is an average person's hand, okay, because some people have tiny hands, little hands. You guys familiar with that? Okay? And yeah, people have big hands, like out of the ordinary size. So you have the little hands and you have the big hands. We talk about someone who's in the average size hand, okay? So the average size hand, when you put them together and you don't close them like a fist, like this, nor you open them completely, like this. You see? Like this. Yeah. That called mud. That amount of water, that's what the Prophet ﷺ used to use to make wudu. Today after the class, we're all going to try this. After I finish, we're all going to go to the restroom or to the wudu area, and we're going to try to see how the mud will be enough for you to make wudu or not. Let's try it, okay? So inshallah, today is, we're going to end a little bit early and to make it more a practical class. He said, Al-Fayruz Abadi rahimahullah defined, Jazakallah khair. That's where I'm going to put my, I would assume my hands, an average hand. I'm going to fill it up with water. Then I'm going to empty it in this cup. Then we're going to see how this will be sufficient for you to make wudu. Ghusl, I can't do that, sorry. So I'm going to just try the wudu. Ghusl, try it home, inshallah. Huh? Complete wudu. I will see. Yeah. قَدْ سَأَلَهَا قَوْمٌ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ فَأَصْبَحُوا بِهَا كَافِرِينَ. طيب, Al-Fayruz Abadi rahimahullah said, I tried that and I found it accurate. قَالَ جَرَّبْتُهُ فَوَجَدْتُهُ صَيْحًا. Al-Fayruz Abadi is a scholar in Arabic language, has a very famous book. It's called The Dictionary, Al-Qamus. It's a very good reference if you want to know the meanings of the words. And he is alim rahimahullah ta'ala. So, and as-sa' basically that the Prophet ﷺ used for the shower, for the taking a bath. As-sa' is basically four mud. So you fill this four times, that's as-sa'. So sometimes he will do the four hands full, both hands full with water, and sometimes five. That's what Anas radiallahu anh said. What can we learn from this hadith? Number one, the minimum, some of the scholars said, to use for wudu, that the minimum amount of water, it was reported that the Prophet ﷺ used for wudu is not even the mud. It's not the two hands full of water. ثُلُثَي الْمُدْ, two-thirds of this. So it's been reported that the Nabi ﷺ made wudu with two-thirds of a mud. Al mud, which is basically, as he said, when you fill your both hands with water. Two-thirds of that, so it's even less. Okay? As for the shower, Aisha radiallahu anha, or the bath, Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, كانت تغتسل مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في إناء يسع ثلاث أمداد. Said we used to take a shower with a container that only can take three muds, يعني three handfuls of water. So that means the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم did three, not even the hadith Anas said four, or five. This one three, a whole shower. And I wanted to know, the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم had hair, and his hair long. He has two braids. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the shorter his hair was ever, covering his ear loop, and the longer reaching his shoulder. So the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم had a lot of hair, still. With three only. And Aisha radiallahu anha is the same thing. And Aisha is a woman and has a hair and, you know. And in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not a tiny petite man. He's also a build man. Huwa kana rab'ah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani he was a middle-sized person. So three mud, three handfuls, that is the minimum that we have seen in the ahadith in regard to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's bath. And been reported, okay, also sa' wa mud, that the Nabi should take a shower with five, okay, five handfuls. طيب, there is a hadith in the Sahihain, an Aisha radiallahu anha, that she used to take a shower with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they used to use a container, it's called al-faraq, fatha and al-fa wa ra. Al-Faraq. What's this container size looks like? Sufyan ibn Uyaynah and Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah said, this container tasa'u thalathatu asa'im min sa'in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember, a sa' is four handfuls of water. So that Al-Faraq can have three sa'. So that means how many handfuls? 12. Sorry, the one can have four handful, so three it means 12. Al-Ulama rahimahullah said, but Anas said he only did four or five. Now Aisha is saying 12. Some of the ulama, that's a lot of water. Some of the ulama said, Aisha, she said that the container can contain that much of water, but she didn't said that he used all that water. So no contradiction between what is reported earlier and this hadith. Because Aisha said he used three handfuls. But this hadith, when she said al-faraq, which is can contain 12 handfuls of water, she didn't say that he used the 12. Also, it could be that container wasn't filled completely. She was trying to tell us how big of the container was. By the way, you're talking about a time in that time, during the Prophet ﷺ time and during Aish time, people they don't have utensils. People very simple and the life is very simple. يعني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم had a cup made of wood, that's what became like a big deal. Somebody has a cup made of wood or a cup made of iron or silver or something like that. You see? So people very simple. So maybe she was trying to say how that's very unique that the container that she has was big that can be filled with three sa'. Anyway, the point that this hadith also teaches us, it is not haram to use more water than what the Prophet ﷺ used. Okay? And it's not haram, but the sunnah is to make sure that your wudu in that range. For make wudu with one, basically, with the mud. And you take a shower, you don't take more than that. But today, with the concept of shower and basically faucet, it's almost impossible to adjust how much exactly is the mud and how much is the sa'. But I think what we can learn from the hadith today is we should be conservative with what? With the water. And unfortunately, a lot of people are not conservative in the way they use water in wudu. Can you guys give me examples how people waste water during wudu? Can you give me example from what you see, maybe in yourself or other people around you? Huh? Yeah, the faucet, you turn it all the way in. You know, the water keep gushing. That's one way of wasting water. You know what? You don't need to make the water so strong. Make it soft, or the water coming out slow. What else? People very slow. They take their time, and how they can be very slow? You know, they talk, and they didn't, and the water running. When I went to India, I still remember that. I wish I have a better memory than what I have now. When I went to India, they had in every bathroom in the hotel, it tells you how much water you will waste if you close the faucet, okay, while you're brushing your teeth, for example. When you brush your teeth, you turn on the water, and while you brush your teeth, they said, if you close it, that's how much you will save. And how much water you will save if you turn the faucet off or turn the water off while you are doing this or while you're doing this. Just don't keep the water running. There is people do that, especially these days with cold water. You turn the hot water and you keep running for about a minute until it warm up, just because you don't want to touch the water. That's not right. The water is ni'mah, and the person should not be wasting the water. Remember, making wudu in a time of hardship like cold weather or some so far is highly rewarded. It's not highly rewarded for no reason. It's because Islam wants to encourage us to be conservative with water and not to waste the resources. It's the most important natural resources that we can ever have. Also, some people, they get very slow because they talk in the phone and the water is running. No, ya akhi. Or some people have, they keep repeating the wudu again and again and again, and it became like a kind of disorder and whispering from the shaitan and make them waste a lot. Those people, you said, no, I'm not going to let the shaitan let me waste the water. So these are some of the way that I see people do today and waste a lot of water with it. That's why in some of the masajid, the head of the faucet, they start putting on the top of it something to restrict the water. Or it's a motion sensor. So when you touch it, you know, even our water here, I remember I went and it's timed. So you push the water and the water comes down. Then we made it shorter because in the beginning it was like, let's say, 19 or 20 seconds. So there's a lot of wasting. So we made it only 9 and so forth. So you should care to teach your children also to be conservative with the water. Who knows, you might be in a time where water is not available. And it's not far from happening, by the way. Have you guys know or anything about Flint? Michigan has more lake than any other state in America, I would believe. A lot of fresh water, a lot of good water. Flint, now it's been how many years they don't have water that they can use inside their homes. Allah haramahum min al-ma. They can't have it. It's contaminated. And we have another city in Texas as well, the same problem. They've been using bottled waters for years now. And I'm in Texas, which is such a shame that we not like raising concern about this. I forgot the name of that little city. But you know what? They said it's not worth it to fix it. That's what the government's answer. They said it's not worth it to fix it because it costs so much money. And the money, the tax that they pay for water will not cover the bill. What kind of government is this? Doesn't take care of, it's not a business, it's a government. You're governing. This is your citizen, your people, your state people. Anyway, so you don't know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can punish us with if we're not conservative and we're not showing appreciation and shukr to this ni'mah. The last thing I want to say in regard to this hadith. Here Anas said, "Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used only mud in wudu. هل التعبير بكان يفيد الديمومة يفيد التكرار يفيد الأغلبية أو يفيد مطلق الفعل? When the Sahabi said kana, he used to. Does that mean something? In English, used to, it means all the time. But kana in Arabic language, that means that he always doing it, or it happened multiple times, or most of the time, or just Anas said he used to do this because he saw him once doing it. So the word kana could mean only one time, could be like something that happened multiple times, or it could be something that the Prophet always doing it, never missed it. Al-Imam Jumhur al-Ulama, the Jumhur, said it doesn't mean that it has happened multiple times. قالوا ليت كان لا تدل على التكرار. And النووي رحمه الله supported this, and he said, عائشة رضي الله عنها, she said, كنت أطيب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لحله قبل أن يطوف. I used to put perfume in the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم before he start his ihram in Hajj. طب how many times the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم made Hajj? One. And she said, كان, كنت. It didn't happen multiple times. Okay? عائشة رضي الله عنها, she said, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يركع ركعتين بعدما يسلم, بعد العصر. يركع ركعتين بعد الوتر. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم used to pray two rak'ahs after witr. After he prayed witr, he threw two rak'ahs while he's sitting. And this hadith is Sahih Muslim. Okay? He used to. It means it's a habit? No. All the ulama and the sharah al-hadith said that happened maybe once or maybe one or twice. Yani very rarely happened. But she's used the word kana. And many other evidence that they used to tell you that kana, it doesn't mean that something happened often or happened multiple times. Okay? And Ibn al-Subki said that, al-Qarafi said that, wa jama'a yani min al-usuliyin. In the other hand, you have al-Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah fi Irshad al-Fuhul, in his book fi Ilm al-Usul, mentioned that Ibn al-Hajib wal-Asnawi wa jama'a min ahli al-Usul, a group of scholars of Usul, said no. When you say kana, it means always. كان حاتم يكرم الضيف. حاتم الطائي, very famous noble Arab generous man, he used to honor the guest. That's because he had went many guests coming, so happened multiple times. Anyway, some said no, it means that happened once. No, it means most of the time. وهذا كله في نظري, in my opinion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. All this khilaf, and I'm not going to drag you into the usuli khilaf this night, but or the debate of usul fiqh, but you can read it yourself if you're interested to more to know about it. But just I'm wanted to the key point here is this: that kana could mean all these. Kana could refer to something that happened multiple times, happened all the time, happened only once. How would we determine based on the context? يفهم هذا من سياق النص من سياق الحديث. So if something about manners, كان صلى الله عليه وسلم do this, we know that this is something happened all the time, or this is his quality صلى الله عليه وسلم. So we look at the context, and that will determine if used to mean something all the time, or sometimes, or multiple times happened during the process of صلى الله عليه وسلم life. Now.
وعن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما منكم من أحد يتوضأ فيسبغ الوضوء ثم يقول أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله إلا فتحت له أبواب الجنة أخرجه مسلم والترمذي بهذا النسخ أبواب الجنة فقط إلا فتحت له أبواب الجنة الثمانية أخرجه مسلم والترمذي وزاد اللهم اجعلني من التوابين واجعلني من المتطهرين. Narrated Umar رضي الله عن Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if one of you performs the wudu thoroughly then recites I testified that there is no one worthy of worship but Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I testified that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is his slave and his messenger. All the 8 gates of paradise will be open for him, and he may enter through any gate he wishes. Reported by Muslim and At-Tirmidhi, who added the following words to the supplication: O Allah, include me amongst those who repent often and those who keep themselves pure.
So this hadith Umar radiallahu anhu, he said reported by Muslim, and the way it was reported in Muslim, it was reported with the story that Abu Idris al-Khawlani said that Uqbah ibn Amr said, كانت علينا رعاية الإبل. We used to take care of the herds and the camels. فجاءت نوبتي فروحتها بعشي. I was in charge of the camels. So it's my turn, because he used to exchange with Umar رضي الله عنه وأرضاه. He said, so my turn came, and I was basically taking the camels out, and I came back before Isha. And I came and I caught the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam standing, talking to people. قال أدركت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قائما يحدث الناس. He was standing and he talking to people. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما من مسلم يتوضأ فيحسن وضوءه. Any Muslim will make wudu and he will perfect his wudu or her wudu. Then pray to rak'ah, facing Allah subhanahu, praying to rak'ah, coming with his heart and his face towards Allah, unless al-jannah is guaranteed for him. Illa wajabat lahu al-jannah. Qala faqultu ma ajwada hadha. فَإِذَا قَائِلٌ بَيْنَ يَدَيَّ يَقُولُ الَّتِي قَبْلَهَا أَجْوَدُ. I said, wow, this is so beautiful. You make wudu and you pray to rak'ah, focusing and you're doing sincerely for Allah, reward Jannah. That's so beautiful. Then somebody from behind me, when he heard me saying this, he said, oh, you missed the first one. The first one even better. What's the first? He came late. He said, you missed the first one. I looked back, and this is Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu. Then Umar narrated to him this hadith that you just heard. He told him that the Prophet ﷺ earlier said, before you came, no one will make wudu, and he will perfect his wudu. Then say, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Unless the 8 gates of paradise will be open, the person enter from any gates, he or she wants. La ilaha illallah. This dua, the narration that Allahumma ja'alni min at-tawwabin wa ja'alni min al-mutatahhirin, came in at-Tirmidhi. And others as well reported this narration. But Imam al-Tirmidhi, because of this addition that he reported it, he judged the whole hadith as weak, by the way. Al-Tirmidhi ankara al-hadith kullu, qal huwa muttarib. He said there is a confusion about it, and the whole hadith is invalid. قال ولا يصح في هذا الباب والذي ورد في هذا الباب كثير لا يصح منه شيء. There is many narrations about this, and all of them are weak. That's what al-Tirmidhi said, rahimahullah. لكن الحافظ ابن حجر, if you're interested to more detail, ابن حجر rahimahullah in تلخيص الحبير did a very good job in refuting this claim. And he said, الحديث ليس مضطرب. He said, أصله في مسلم ورجح رواية الجمع. This hadith reported by al-Bazzar, wa-Tabarani, وابن ماجه من حديث أنس ومن حديث أيضا ثوبان and others. So الألباني also in السلسلة الصحيحة did very well, did a good job in collecting these narrations, and they all concluded that the narration is sound. Even this dua, اللهم اجعلنا توابين وجعلنا من الطاهرين. Other ulama believe it is weak. Other ulama believe this addition is weak. But the actual dua, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abdu rasuluh, is authentic. Because it's in Sahih Muslim. Anyway, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ma minkum min ahad." This is a very general term. It means anyone, a man, woman, young, old, anyone, sinner, good doer, whatever status is. Anyone, the Prophet ﷺ saying. Where do we get anyone from? قال ما نافية منكم من أحد. أحد نكرة في سياق النفي دلت على العموم. تضيف إليها من أحد تصبح أكثر العموم. It's emphasis that any one of you, regardless, so that opened the door. يعني don't say I am not a very good Muslim, not a, anyone. The Prophet ﷺ said, would say that. And this is a very beautiful start. يسبغ الوضوء, perfect and complete his wudu. Okay? So nothing missing, you're doing three times, or if you do it less than three times, you make sure that you do it perfect, you take, you know, and you perfect your wudu. فتحت له, يعني the gates of paradise will be open for him in the day of judgment. Why did we say in the day of judgment? Why did we say opened for him in the day of judgment? من ليش جعلناها بيوم القيامة? Because he said he will enter from it from anyone he wishes. So let's talk about the day of judgment. Obvious. Very good. This Allah maj'alni min al-tawabin, those who repent a lot to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani kathir al-tawba. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, Allah, I repent to you every day 100 times. Not because he made 100 sins. No. التوبة, it means you repent to Allah, and you go back to Allah. Just the ghafla, just not mentioning Allah, you go back to Him. التوبة, it means return. So the moment you didn't mention Allah much, and you be aware of that, and you go back to make dhikr, and you make, you know, to know how much your ibadah is very small comparing to His rights, that's tawbah in itself. Okay? وَجْعَلْنِي مِنَ الْمُتَطَهِرِينَ, make me among those who always purify themselves. And part of purifying yourself is to purify yourself through tawbah, and you purify yourself physically by making wudu, and spiritually by making wudu, by making salah, by making dua, by all these things. This hadith, there is many benefits we can learn from it. Number one, this is a recommended dua to say. And a dua after the good deeds are most likely to be accepted. And the wudu, it's a great ibadah. And you remember in the beginning we mentioned many ahadith about the virtue of wudu. That's why dua after it is basically among the time where inshallah dua can be accepted, and especially this dua and this dhikr. I want you also to know, لا يوجد أي دليل, there is no any authentic narration at all, that there is a specific dua you say when you wash your body part. Yani some people, when they wash their hands, they say certain dua. When they wash their face, they make certain dua. When they rinse their mouth, certain dua. When they wash their feet, certain dua. This, there is something like that been mentioned by Al-Mustaghfiri, rahimahullah, in his book, Al-Da'awat and Ibn Asakir, that Ali radiallahu anhu said that. But all this is very, very, very weak narrations, as Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar rahimahullah said. And even Nawawi Ibn Salah said, La asla lah, has no basis. And this is among the bid'ah that some people do. Another thing from the hadith is the issue of that the 8 gates will be open for you. The 8 gates will be open for you to enter from it. We know that the Prophet ﷺ said in the Day of Judgment, each one of these doors represent mainly a specific good deed. So there is one door represent a sadaqah, one door represent al-Qur'an for dhikr, one door represent bir al-walidain, being good to your parents, one door representing al-jihad, one door representing as-salah, and we have al-rayyan for fasting, okay? So in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and the angel will be calling people who excel in this area to enter from these gates. If this is the case, how can you be asked to enter from the 8 gates? The 8 gates are open for you. And just because of this dua, al-ulama rahimahumullah said, like al-Hafidh ibn Hajar and Imam al-Qurtubi rahimahullah, what they both said, they said this hadith shows you that all the 8 gates will be open for you out of honor and respect. It's like, can you imagine? You see this door for the masjid has 3 sides, that's right? Huh? Takhayyal Kareem walking out. Okay? Then me, Ibrahim, and Mu'adh, we all run and to open the door. I open in the middle, he opened the side, he opened the other side. Come from here. Then Muhammad Sa'ad opened the door from the shoe racks. Come from here. And, you know, and Abu Walid opened the other door. Can you imagine all this? And how you feel, Kareem, about that? Feel so honored. From how many door you will exit? From how many door you will exit? One. But count all doors open for you. It shows you what? Honor and respect and valuing you. That's what the hadith meant. Not that you're going to enter from all of them or one of them specifically, or you choose. No, you will end up entering from the one that you, the deeds that you excel in. So if you are among Ahl al-Salah, you will end up entering from the Salah. But the other door are open for you just to, as a respect and basically to honor. That some of the ulama said that, like al-Hafidh ibn Hajar rahimahullah al-Qurtubi. Others said, no, these are special cases where actually you do choose to enter from anyone you want, and that's up to you. And Al-Mulla Ali Qari, rahimahullah, great Hanafi scholar, he said in his book Al-Mirqa, قال لمزيد شرفه, to show his honor, لكنه لا يلهم إلا اختيار الدخول من الباب المعد لعامل نظيره. He will be only guided to enter and to choose the door that fits him. Because of this, al-ulama rahimahullah said, how come the Prophet said the gate of al-Rayyan only for the fasting people? But what about the one who make this hadith, make this dua? Could he enter from al-Rayyan? They said, no, Allah will open the door for al-Rayyan for him, but he will not choose it. He will not choose it. And some ulama said, no, he might choose it, and there is exception made that al-Rayyan only for the fasting people and for the people who will make this kind of dua, and there is many other deeds as well lead for the gates of paradise to be open. Question. Sayyid Hussein, before you leave, I have a question for you. Coach. No, while you're going, get in your chair, I have a question for you. Who is the companion that the 8 gates of paradise will be open for him? The best of all companions. Abu Bakr. You remember when he said, Ya Rasulullah, is there anyone will be called from the 8 gate of Jannah? He said, yes, and that will be you. Taib, question. This is considered very high, special status for Abu Bakr. That's right? So what's the difference between Abu Bakr and you if you make this dua? You both have the 8 gates open for you. كيف يكون هذا مزية لأبي بكر? How come became a special thing for Abu Bakr? Yeah, I'm talking about this one particular issue. If the Prophet said yes, and you are the one who will be. Abu Bakr said, yeah, there are so many people also will be having the 8 gates open for them. The one who make this dua after wudu. And there is many other things. Fahimtul istishkal. You see the point? See, right? How can we answer this? قال العلماء رحمه الله. The answer for this, that all this ahadith about the 8 gates will be open, none of it says that you will be called from these 8 gates. It will be open, but nothing in the hadith said, and you will be called Because at each one of these gates, there is angels. None of this hadith said that the angel call you to come from here. But the hadith of Abu Bakr, that all the angels in all the eight gates said, halum, come, enter from my side. Enter from my side. Come to my side. So that's extra honor than just opening the doors. And we can open the door for you. The bellboys open the doors in the hotels. But there is a difference between that and someone, the manager comes and says, please come from here. And invite you personally. That's for Abu Bakr. And that would differentiate Abu Bakr from the rest of the Ummah, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is that understood? Also, this hadith has a benefit. The importance of perfecting our ibadah. قَالْ فَأَسْبَغَ الْوُضُوءُ فَأَحْسَنَ الْوُضُوءُ. Yani, when we make things, let's make it correct. But don't go to waswasa. Don't go to extreme. But also don't cut corners. Don't do any sloppy work. And al-ihsan is not only in the water and the covering, the area. Al-ihsan is also in what? In being aware of what you're doing. Unfortunately, many of us make wudu and we don't think. يعني we're making wudu, it's become a mechanical thing. كان بعض السلف إذا توضأ أصفر لونه وتغير. Some of the salaf, when they make wudu, their face change. And they will be asked, why your face change? He said, because I'm preparing myself to stand before Allah. It means a lot to me. And that lead me to another point. Ya Akhwan, and this is something that I really was thinking about a lot today after Maghrib. And I added to my notes. I said, if this is the ajr, the eight gates of paradise open, you will be asked to, yani you can enter from whatever you wish. هذا في الوضوء فما بالك بالصلاة. This reward for wudu. So what do you think of the salah, the ajr will be? يعني this ajr, الوضوء is the whole entire wudu, is just the key to the salah. Can you imagine the ibadat al-salah, how rewarding it will be? How valuable it will be? If the key to a salah was honored that much and lead to that much reward, what do you think of a salah itself? Also, this narration shows you how the sahaba cared about each other. So he know that Uqbah wasn't there and he missed part of the ajr, then he told him, hey, by the way, there is another one also get you a lot of ajr, which is to say. And that's the good attitude. Like if you, let's say you miss a class, you miss something, I learned something in my class, I can share it with you. I miss something, I want to, you know, teach it to my family, to my friends, put it on my Facebook, maybe share it in my social media. This is a good attitude, sharing the knowledge and sharing the khair. Finally, this hadith show you that any deeds that we do will be combined with a tawheed, it will make the reward tremendous. حسنه التوحيد لا يقارنها حسنه. The reward of tawheed is nothing similar to it. Where we get that from? لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له. It's just not words. لا اله الا, it's a testimonial. It means something. It means that you admitting and you believing that you, Allah is the only one worthy of worship, is the only one I submit myself to. I would never associate others with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the ibadah, in the worship of Allah. I keep Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have the highest level in my heart. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his last and final messenger. I follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I accept what Rasulullah told me. I honor Rasulullah. I love Rasulullah. That in itself, that what made this ajr is so high. So anything that you add the tawheed and the sincerity and the ibadah and the correct belief to it, it became so rewarding. And anything you take the tawheed from it and you associate shirk with it, no matter how big it is, it will be habita amalu. it will be invalid. من كلمات الجميلة اللي يقولها أهل العلم. One of the beautiful statements of أهل العلم يقولون أهل السنة والجماعة وإن قعدت بهم أعمالهم يوم القيامة قامت بهم عقائدهم وأهل البدعة والضلالة وإن قامت بهم أعمالهم يوم القيامة قعدت بهم عقائدهم أهل السنة والجماعة even if their deeds are little and not very strong their عقيده will raise them high in the sky and أهل البدع even if they have so much work and so much عبادة and so much deeds but their corrupt belief will bring them down so nothing like to have the correct belief nothing important it's one of the most important things to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم his heart is سليم يعني سالم من الشهوات سالم من الشبهات سالم من الشك سالم من الشرك free of shirk free of kufr free of corrupt belief and so forth these are some of the lessons that we can learn from and the next chapter will be next class inshallah about we're going to enter now a new chapter which is al-mas'h al-khuffay you talk about the way we make wudu So one of the things, instead of washing, it's wiping over al-khuf. And inshallah, next week, we'll get to learn that بعض العلماء used different terms. They قلون باب المسح على الحوائل. Wiping over حائل, it means the partition, not part, barriers. Very good, أحسنت. Barriers. Why? We'll learn next week, inshallah, because al-khuf is what made of leather, but that's not the only thing that the Prophet ﷺ wiped over. So we'll learn that the Nabi wiped over many different types of things. Some of them were leather, some of them were cloth. Now, I invite all of you, even the sisters, if you want, we'll go to the restroom. And in the, where the sink is, and I will show you how can we make wudu with just one mud. And anyone want to try it? More than, me and Muhammad, we tried that before, you remember? And he did it, I did it, and he did it with thuluthay mud, actually. Jazakallah khair. And it's amazing. You think it never happened, but actually it is very possible. So if anybody has a question before we go, yes. In Sunan Abi Dawood, that the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam raised his head up to the sky when he did that. But this is even much weaker than the narration of Ibn Tirmidhi. Yani there is more criticism for this narration. But Sheikh Al-Albani said it, I think it is sound, if I'm not mistaken. Let's go do it.